Get your Bibles out, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And what we're going to do is we're going to read a verse together, then we'll turn to another verse, and then we'll refer to many, many verses throughout the night. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 5. I call the sermon, The Growth of Greatness. The growth of greatness. Let's not talk now, but let's listen. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 5. Go ahead and stand with me, if you would, please. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 5. The Bible says this, I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Now, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse number 40. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40. And again, I'll read it to you. The Bible says, And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. If you look back at me real quickly, that verse there is about Jesus Christ. It tells us that Jesus grew and he waxed strong in the spirit and was filled with wisdom and the grace of God. Before I pray, let me tell you this. The sermon that I'll preach tonight, it applies to many categories. We're going to talk about the growth of greatness. How would a man grow to greatness? How would a woman grow to greatness? How would a ministry grow to greatness? How would a country grow to greatness? Or how would a business grow to greatness? It'll all apply. There's a little transfer of principle if you're going to make it apply to the different categories. I'll talk to us as Christians and in a special way to those that are leaders. And so you understand, everybody in here is leading somebody, whether you realize it or not. Somebody's looking up to you. You might not even know it. You might say, but Pastor, nobody at all following me. I'm not even a good Christian. I'm very sorry. Somebody is following everybody in this room. You might not know who, but somebody's following you. So I hope we'll all learn from the lesson tonight, the growth of greatness. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, help us tonight. I simply want to teach a truth that will help all of us to fulfill our potential. And Lord, we want to do what will glorify you most in our lives. You deserve that we behave ourselves in a great way. So I pray, Father, that you'll help us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, control the hearing, what's heard. Control the speaking, what's said. And then, Father, control the result. Not just tonight, in weeks, months, years, generations to come. This sermon could affect generation after generation if we would take the truth, live it, and pass it on. May that be the case. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See, God's work is a great work. And our God is a great God. God always has been great. And God always will be great. God's people must grow into accomplishing great things. Jeremiah 5:5 says that I want to get to the great men. Why? Well, you're going to become like that which you are around. And so, Jeremiah said, I want to get around the great people. I want to get around great men. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse number 40, it was the story and it's telling about Jesus Christ. And it tells us that God allowed Jesus in his earthly body to grow. I think he grew, obviously, in a physical fashion. Now, Jesus was already great. He was the God-man. But God, again, lets Jesus be our ultimate role model. He added to his greatness. I do not know how God allowed that to happen, but I do know this. Jesus was growing, and the verse said, he grew and he waxed strong in spirit. That means there was increase in that area. He was filled with wisdom, filled with the grace of God. So it's an amazing story. Jesus is always our ultimate role model in everything that we do and everything that we ought to become. But if you'll listen to me for a few minutes tonight, I think I can show you something that is in the Bible, and I think it will help all of us. The lesson's simple. There's just a few little points to it, but the points are they're important points. So listen very carefully. Number one, great people are grown, not created. Great people are grown, not created. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 5, there was a conversation going on between Jesus and the apostles, and the apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And what they were asking, they were saying, "Jesus, we want to grow. Help us to grow." Why? Because the ultimate example, the greatest one ever, Jesus, had just acted in a powerful way by faith. They looked at it and they said, "We want some of that. We want to grow in that area." Nobody has ever been born great but Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, why do you need to say that?" Because there are people sitting in this room and say, "Well, I'm not the chosen one. I can't do great things because I've not been chosen to do great things." Listen, you got to understand something. You're not chosen. You choose to do good. You choose to grow. You choose to do right. You're not limited. Everybody has the opportunity of doing great things for God if they're willing to grow into doing great things. And remember, nobody was ever born great but Jesus. God's not a respecter of persons. God makes available to everyone an element of greatness. Daniel chapter 4 verse 22 says, "Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown." No person was ever created great, but they had to grow into that greatness. And honestly, I think there are people that they when they think of doing something great for God, they may say, "I wasn't born for that." Everybody was born to do great things for God. Just not everybody's willing to grow to the extent that they could do or will do something great for God. So, my first point is, great people are grown, not created. Number two, God grew some great men in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. He grew some great people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Psalm chapter 71, verse number 21, it says, "Thou shalt increase my greatness." Now, I'm going to give you an opinion. To me, the greatest leader in the Old Testament was a man by the name of Moses. He started in his youth, and it was a very difficult youth, and he faced a lot of strong challenges in his youth. When he was born, he was sent up the river in a basket, could have been eaten by alligators, and he was discovered by a stranger and reared in a stranger's home. Happened to be a rich and a powerful stranger. He ended up being reared as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but Pharaoh wasn't his dad, and Pharaoh's daughter wasn't his mom, but he had been put in a basket, shoved up the river. They pulled him out. So Moses, he started out pretty rough. You wouldn't have thought when you glanced at Moses, okay, it proves he wasn't born great. He's born poor in a basket, and he was basically without parents, if you will, while he sailed up the river. But later on, he grew. And what ends up happening is he becomes the great deliverer of God's people in the Old Testament. While he was living in the household of Pharaoh, in defense of his cause, he killed a man and had to flee to the backside of the desert. You say, why did God send him there to hide? I don't think so. God sent him there to grow him. To grow him. And I think while he was on the backside of the desert, Moses grew in his temper control. He grew past his fear, his weaknesses. He was a little bit intimidated. He wasn't a good speaker. Now, later on in life, God calls upon him to speak, and he's a little afraid of it. But I'll promise you, before he went to the backside of the desert, he was even a worse speaker. Because on the backside of the desert, God was growing Moses. And he grows to the point that he leads millions of God's people in the worst possible conditions with the most terrible opposition. Who was this? It's a man that God used to do great miracles as a part of his ministry. But Moses grew into his greatness. So in the Bible, we see examples of people that grew into greatness. I think, my opinion is, the greatest leader in the New Testament was Paul the Apostle. And I'm speaking outside of Jesus Christ. Paul started out as a persecutor of Christians. They feared him. And then Paul got saved. And he began to grow in the Lord. You know what ended up happening? He grew past all the other Christians alive on the earth at that time. And he did it pretty quickly. He was not born great, but he grew great. And for everybody in here, you're to be growing toward greatness. It's not something you're just given. It's something that is developed. He went from being the Christian's worst enemy to becoming, really, at that time, the Christian's best friend. Matter of fact, whether you all realize it or not, in the New Testament, God used Paul to pen 12 or 13 books of the New Testament. You have to understand, he used to murder Christians. We probably read more of Paul's writings in this modern day, as far as the New Testament is concerned, than we read anybody else's. Why do we get that? Because he grew. And if I ask you, I said, tell me some great Christians in the New Testament. Everybody here would throw the name Paul into their list. Paul grew, and he grew into greatness. So I said, number one, great people are grown, not created. I said, number two, there are some great Christians that we see both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Moses was a great Old Testament leader, but he didn't start that way. Paul was a great New Testament leader, but he didn't start that way. Now listen to this next point. Number three, greatness is not the goal. Greatness is not the goal, but to be used of God is the goal. Greatness is not the goal, but to be used of God is the goal. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 24, it says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, and consider how great things He hath done for you." See, number three is greatness is not the goal, but to be used of God is the goal. You young Christians, and you've got a little enticement about doing something great for God. Let me explain something. It is vain for you to strive to become great. There's some people say, I want to be great. God never intended for you to act that way. See, greatness is not your goal, but to be used of God is your goal. You say, see, listen to this. Greatness in itself is nothing. If I said to you, go get me a bucket of greatness, you'd say, you would say, that doesn't exist. Right. Greatness is the label we place on the sum total of great behaviors. It's just a label. See, your goal is not greatness. Your goal is to be used of God. You say, well, then how do you accomplish greatness? Here's what you do. You practice great love. Do you love in a great way? How do you accomplish greatness? You add to that great love, great patience. Then you add to that great patience and great love, you add into your Christian life great joy. Then you add to that great love and the great patience and the great joy, you add great humility. Then you add to those elements great productivity. Then you add to those elements great obedience. Then you add to those elements great wisdom, and then great character, and then a great sense of justice. Then you add great mercy. Then you add a great attitude. Then you add being a great comforter. Then you add being a great friend. Greatness in itself is nothing. What greatness is, it is a label that is the sum total that we place upon great attributes being lived by God's people. It's great behaviors. So if you say, I want to be great, well, if yours is a vanity trip, you're doing it all for the wrong reason. What you ought to do are take the behaviors of Jesus Christ and you live them in a great way, and then you can experience greatness in the Christian life. You see, we should strive to help others in a great way. Let us grow in our desire to be used of God. To be greatly used is the pure goal for which you and I are to strive. Do you know the greatest accomplishment in one's life is to be used of God? So, I said, number one, great people are grown, not created. I said, number two, God grew some great men in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I said, number three, greatness is not the goal, but to be used of God is the goal. Number four, greatness is not in the performance, but it is in the preparation. Greatness is not in the performance, but it is in the preparation. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse number 6, it says this, be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company. Let me say again, greatness, it's not in the performance, but it is in the preparation. See, to look good is not the true goal of greatness, but to be good is the great goal. To look good is not the true goal of greatness. To do good is the goal. You see, some people want to become great. That's vain. Why? So they look great. That's vain. God said, I'm not trying to make you look great. I'm trying to get you to live great. Great ball players are not made in the game. They're made in practice. And point number four is, greatness is not in the performance, but in the preparation. I would not for a moment think tonight that I will preach a great sermon. I don't know that I'm capable of that. But if I ever did preach a great sermon, I would not be preaching a great sermon because of my delivery. I will preach a great sermon because of the preparation that went into that sermon. You see, great sermons are prepared more than they're preached. You say, prepared where? Prepared on your knees. Prepared with your Bible open. Prepared when you're alone with God and getting something from God. And you reach into heaven and say, God, I've got to feed my people. And God reaches down and gives you something in private for you to merely deliver in public. Because greatness is not in the performance. It's in the preparation. Great preachers are not those who do well on the platform or preach well, but great preachers are the ones who do well in the prayer closet and in their walk with God and off the platform. Those who are growing in greatness realize their character development is not all about what they get out of it, but what they are becoming because of it. You're not trying to become great because what you get, you're trying to do great because of what you will become. And we need more people that want to become something than we need people that want to do something. Because if you'll become something, you will go do something. Moses' greatness was not developed the day that he faced Pharaoh. Moses' greatness was developed on the backside of the desert when he was alone with God and God was teaching him how to do it. Number one, great people are grown, not created. Number two, God grew both men, some great men in both the Old and the New Testament. Number three, greatness is not the goal, but to be used of God is. Number four, greatness is not in the performance, but it is in the preparation. Number five, greatness is not in being served, but it is in serving. Greatness is not in being served, but it is in serving. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, it says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's almost a lost concept of our day. You know what I think? The great business of the future is the business that serves the client. Not the one that has expectation from the client, but serves the client. You want to succeed in business? Serve. You say, I want to have the biggest business. Then out serve everybody else. Jesus was the greatest ever. And He was a servant. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. To what degree did Jesus serve you? To death. That's pretty good service. Greatness is not a desire to be helped. Greatness is a desire to help. Greatness is not in getting. Greatness is in giving. We need to grow our desire to be able to serve God and God's people in a great way. You say, I like this idea of greatness. Okay, go become a great, humble servant and do anything that needs to be done. You say, that's not my concept of greatness. Then you disagree with God. So, greatness is not being served, but in serving. Number six, the great people to whom we all look grew to greatness. You name the great person that you look up to, and they grew to that admiration. Bible characters. Do you all realize that Job grew to his greatness? God didn't invent Job and just give Job everything that he needed all in one bucket full and say, okay, Job, you're great. No, he went the same process that everybody else would have to go through. You say, but boy, he knew how to suffer the right way, and he grew to that point. He learned from his suffering. He grew because of his suffering. Now, to be honest, I don't want to be the champion sufferer in history. Job can have that title. But he did. I mean, everybody in every culture and almost every religion will turn to Job and say, that guy knows how to suffer. He's somebody. He's a great sufferer. But he grew into it. Noah grew into his greatness. Mary, God didn't, there are people that think that God created Mary special. I've got news for you. Mary was a little girl just like everybody else, and eventually Mary becomes the mother of the Christ child, but Mary grew into what she was. She grew in that purity. She grew into that good spirit. Yeah, she'll go down in history as a great lady, but God didn't just say, Mary, I'll create you great and everything else is all taken care of. She went through the same temptations, the same challenges, some of the same difficulties that everybody else did, but Mary said, I will grow through this. I will become better because of this. And one day God looked down and said, I think she's ready. She got to carry the Christ child. She's great. She grew into that greatness. Daniel grew into the man that could face the lion in the lion's den. Joshua grew into the great man that he was. Ezekiel grew into the great prophet that he was. Jeremiah grew. Elizabeth grew. Paul grew. Ruth grew. Every one of them, they had to grow. Your Bible heroes, every one of them grew into what they were. They were human beings just like me and you. They were created in a common way just like you and I. And God is not a respecter of persons. Whatever element of greatness that was available to Moses is available to you. Whatever element of greatness that was available to Mary is available to you. There's only one difference. Some people grow into greatness and others choose not to. There are some modern day great people that we would look to in the last few generations. Dr. Lee Robertson grew into what he was. Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. Bobby Robertson, Dr. Carl Hatch, they grew into what they were. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who I think one of the prince of preachers, he grew into what he was. The great missionary David Livingston grew into being the great man that he was. Fanny Crosby, who has influenced the music world like no other woman ever in history and maybe like no other man. She grew. God didn't just make a Fanny Crosby to write 3,000 plus songs and say, I'm just going to do all this for you. I'll just take care of it all. I'm just going to make you great. God did not take a magic wand out and pop her on the head and turn her into somebody great. She grew into greatness. Let me tell you something. Whoever is the next generation of great Christians, they too must come through the greatness growth process. Say, well, if God would make me great, I'd run with the ball. He's going to give you the ball and tell you to run with it, and you're to make yourself. Oh, and I realize it comes from God, but you must understand there is a responsibility that you and I have to perform, to do what God gave us to do. Let me go on. Point number 7. People who are becoming great are busy building others, not themselves. People who are becoming great are busy building others, not themselves. I even believe this about a company. Boy, if a company is going to expand, it's got to have employees and management that can expand. What's a guy at the top do? He grooms the person under him. Why? So that person can groom somebody under him. Why? So that person can groom somebody under him. Why? So we can get the job done. See, people who are becoming great are busy building others, not themselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4 says this, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I think the Bible's teaching us there. Don't be so worried about you. Go help somebody else. Look at what somebody else needs. Hey, great soul winners are not trying to become personally great. You know what they're busy doing? Helping other people. How many of you have ever heard the name Dr. Carl Hatch? Dr. Hatch, Mr. Soul Winner. You know, I knew Dr. Carl Hatch personally. I've known him for a long, long time. He's in heaven now. But I got to tell you something. Dr. Hatch never set out to be called Mr. Soul Winner. Dr. Hatch never set out to go down in history being one of the greatest soul winners ever in the United States of America. You know what he did? He pulled a gospel track out every time he crossed somebody's path and he told them about Jesus Christ. And then he told another one, then he told another one, then he told another one, then he told another one. He got so busy helping everybody, everybody said, "Look at that guy, Mr. Soul Winner right over there. There he is, a modern day Apostle Paul." He went down in history as maybe the greatest soul winner in America. All he was doing was helping everybody he could. See, people who are becoming great are busy building others, not themselves. You don't realize while you're busy building others, you're being built. Hey, Sunday school teacher, won't you throw yourself into growing that class? Throw yourself into teaching that Bible. Throw yourself into walking in the Spirit so you can teach in the Spirit. Throw yourself into the practicality of the Bible. Throw yourself into it. And all the time you're trying to train those children and trying to train those people, God is revolutionizing what you are. You get more out of the lesson than they will if you'll throw yourself into it. What's happening? God is growing you while you're growing somebody else. I'll tell you something. If God said, "Jeff, I'll give you a choice. You grow you or I'll grow you." I'll say, "I'd rather have you help me grow." He'll say, "Okay, you get busy growing others and I'll grow you as a part of the process." Many of you will not know this name. Some will. General William Booth did not become great by trying to become great. You say, "I don't even know who that is." Well, currently they say there are 1.7 million, as they call them, soldiers in his army. Not all of you know who he is. He founded what's called the Salvation Army, the charitable organization that helps people. So how in the world did General William Booth end up helping that many people? How did he become famous? I mean, anybody here never hear of the Salvation Army? We've all heard of it. How did he do that? He decided to feed someone. He decided to clothe someone. He started with one. Just one. Salvation Army, they used to go out on a street corner, get a big old pot of soup, some bowls. They'd get a Bible out and some gospel tracts, and the poor people would come around and they'd put gloves on their hands and socks
on their feet and give them a bowl of hot soup and maybe a cup of coffee or some chocolate milk. And then they'd open the Bible and give them the gospel that would revolutionize their life. And they had one little meeting and then another. And it got to the point where there needed meeting places for this to happen and a place to store the clothing. Now, the Salvation Army is nothing today like it started in its origination. But I will tell you this, General Booth is known all around the world for the Salvation Army. And what made him great? He was just helping people.
He was just helping people. Many of you will know this name, some will not. Dr. Ray Young. Dr. Ray Young, just a country boy, Cajun from Louisiana, went off to Bible college as a kid. Fell in love with helping children on bus routes. Worked at it. Oh, this number is probably not current. Dr. Ray Young ended up becoming the bus director of the largest bus ministry in the world. 5,200,000 riders were brought to church through his influence. 876,462 salvations. Dr. Ray Young did not become great by trying to make Ray Young great. Dr. Ray Young was made great by helping other people. People who are becoming great are busy building others, not building themselves. Why? Because it is vain for you to try to make you great. So what are you to do? You're to behave in a great way. Because greatness is in itself nothing. Greatness is only a label that we place on the qualities of greatness, which, by the way, are the qualities of Jesus Christ, the greatest in all the universe. Let me give you one more point and I'll be done. Number 8. Truly great people produce other great people. Great people produce other great people. Great men produce other great men. That's why it is said in Jeremiah 5:5, I will get me unto the great men. Moses produced a Joshua. When Moses passed away, Scripture said, Moses, my servant, is dead, and Joshua steps up and takes over. Elijah had an Elisha. You know, Paul produced a Timothy. Many of you wouldn't know, but I wish you did know the name, Shubal Stearns. Planted churches all over the South. He produced a Daniel Marshall who followed in his footsteps. It was J. Frank Norris that produced a G.B. Vick. Lee Robertson produced a J.R. Faulkner. And I could go on and on. Dr. Hiles produced many good and great men. I believe great leaders reproduce themselves. They need to reproduce themselves. Now, they're not trying to be great. What do they need to do? Help others to become great. And I really believe this. People that have a leader that has great qualities, if they'll not become self-consumed with it, but they'll be consumed with passing that on to others, they're not doing anything but doing a greater work for God. But I really believe we need to pass that on. Hey, bus captain, stop trying to be a great bus captain. Produce greatness on your route. Hey, Sunday school teacher, stop trying to be a great Sunday school teacher. Pass greatness on. You know what? I think someone would be a success if they could be a Sunday school teacher, but you would draw Sunday school teachers out of their students for the future. That's greatness for you. Being able to reproduce the qualities that make God glorified in behavior. Hey, children's church workers, leaders, don't try to be a great children's church leader. Produce them. I'll tell you, I'd rather be a king maker than be a king. Huh. What was Jesus' goal? To reproduce himself in me and in you. He's the greatest ever. I'm finished. Not because I'm old, but because I want you to hear it again. I'm going to tell you my points. Number one, great people are grown, not created. Number two, God grew some great men in both the Old and the New Testament. Number three, greatness is not the goal, but to be used of God is the goal. Number four, greatness is not in the performance, but it is in the preparation. Number five, greatness is not being served, but in serving others. Number six, the great people to whom we look all grew in greatness, whether they're Old Testament, New Testament, or more modern generation. And whoever is the next generation of great Christians, they will come through the very same growth process that everybody else has. Number seven, people who are becoming great are busy building others, not themselves. And then finally, truly great men, truly great people are producing other great people. Remember, your goal is not to become great. Your goal is to glorify God by living the great qualities of life. That's truly what greatness is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.